This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat today, all the way from the West Coast, is Guy Rosenfeld. He is the Chief Marketing Officer of Sangfor, which is S-A-N-G-F-O-R. Guy, welcome back.
Hi, Gary. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and it's been a little while since we talked, but you guys continue to expand in so many areas, it's hard to keep up with you, from endpoint security to cloud security. Tell me what you're doing, how you do it, and how you deploy your solution.
We are one of the largest technology companies in China. And so we have a very huge customer base over there. So most of our products are battle tested, they're tried and true over there. And then the ones we think are the most applicable, we want to bring to the international marketplace, which becomes everything. So we have some very interesting technologies that you don't see use cases for here, which are very common in China. And because we don't see them here, it makes them more interesting when we bring these products out.
What do you mean by different use cases that you only see on the other side of the Great Wall?
It's interesting. When you look at some of the things, the technology are very common. For example, surveillance is a very big technology that they have there in terms of video cams, surveillance cams, all kind of stuff. Well, when they do that, they use a lot of AI to try to do facial recognition and other types of stuff. So they've been able to commercialize that technology and be able to do some really cool stuff. So imagine going to the grocery store right now, and you go, and we have to go and barcode, scan the barcodes, everything you want to buy, right? They just go buy the little barcode scan. Imagine now you can do facial recognition of all the products that you buy as you go sliding on the conveyor belt. So because we can have AI algorithms that can do facial recognition, we can do object recognition. So by looking at the object as it goes by, we can identify what the food actually is by its packaging, by its shape, whatever it is, be able to identify it, price it for you, and be able to do that without actually having to touch it or scan it manually. It's really cool.
That's different than the technology we're used to here in America.
It is. So the same kind of thing from a security perspective, there's a lot of security use cases that we don't necessarily have because they think more centralized. But because they think more centralized, they do a lot of things that we hadn't thought about before, since we tend to be more decentralized or more spread out. So by taking some of the use cases and bringing out here, we've seen a lot of improvements, not just in AI technology, but in threat hunting, in terms of dealing with advanced persistent threats, because the way they've had to deal with the stuff back in domestic China. So I think we have some really cool technologies here that no one else has really seen before.
Guy, are you selling hardware appliances? Are you selling software? Is it spin up a VM in the cloud? Do you have your own cloud front end for some of these tools? How are you technically deploying your cybersecurity solutions?
It's all of the above. We have hardware appliances, we have virtual appliances, we have in the public, in the private cloud, we have our own SASE infrastructure that we're bringing to market in the next couple of months. We're in beta testing right now. We do a whole bunch of different kinds of things. We have our own hyperconverged infrastructure cloud also for doing things. So we do virtual desktop, we do virtual servers, we do a whole bunch of different things to be able to provide the user the right kind of solution based upon their infrastructure requirements. And we're seeing a lot of people moving. Because of the COVID from last year, there's been a huge increase or acceleration in the digital transformation. People had a five-year plan, and they basically had to implement it overnight. And that has actually been very successful for us, because we've seen a big transition from things like hardware-based firewall, hardware-based SD-WAN, to moving more into the cloud, moving more to our HCI infrastructure, so that we can now see people that are deploying servers in the cloud, virtual desktop environments to be able to secure data so that we can produce data loss and reduce O&M and increase productivity.
Guy, you're talking about the post-COVID era. Before COVID, we had most people in America working at the office. Today, we have over 50% and growing working from home. Has that created a need for a new kind of endpoint agent? How come desktop as a service isn't taking off? Is this something you guys will be offering? Seems to me there are certain technologies that can help reduce the risk. And right now, the threat landscape is much broader than it's ever been, because we flipped the company's infrastructure upside down from intranets to extranets.
Yeah, that's very true. And the big issue we're going to see some of these technologies take off yet, some people don't understand them still. Some people think they're very expensive, so they're not really sure how to deal with those yet. Desktop as a service is a big thing that we offer with our virtual desktop, our VDI, or we call it ADesk, is a technology that we have. What's really nice is when you have work from home type infrastructure, you're going to have people that are going to have corporate assets or even their home PCs. They're coming down to VPN and their laptop, even if it's a corporate laptop, has gotten infected because it's being hooked up to their home network by, you know, their kids' iPad has been infected by something and passed something on along the way. So now you're seeing malware being shot down the VPN tunnel. By having things like endpoint protection that's integrated with VPN, you can now make informed risk decisions in terms of what you can do for access control when you are allowing the session coming down the VPN. So not only do you have authorization based upon access control, you can also look at the risk of the endpoint based upon, is it infected? Does it have all the right stuff running? And then based upon the risk of the endpoint, I can then control what access it has coming down the VPN pipe, what resources it should be able to see. So that allows us to be able to have better security and better control in the work from anywhere environment.
Good.
But again, we're seeing a lot. Sorry.
That's okay. No, I have a quick question. Does SAG4 deploy point solutions with different interfaces, or have you guys decided that everything you deploy can get rolled up into a centralized dashboard or a command center or a single pane of glass?
We're working towards the single pane of glass command center type thing. We have what's called Platform X, which is our cloud-based management platform. And currently now that manages our firewall, our endpoint. It manages some of our secure web access gateway type technologies. Some of our SD-WAN type stuff will be put in there later on this year. So as we move into the cloud and we see more critical mass, we'll be adding more products into the cloud-based management.
Sounds great. Now, do you think that it's important to have plugins out of your environment or connectors to SIEMs, SIMs, and SOAR solutions? Or do you feel closed box at SAG4 Security, no need to alert third parties or plug in at third parties? Or are you doing that for scalability and making it easy for IT folks to plug you into maybe their existing infrastructure?
A third-party integration, API support, that's a must anywhere you go because every customer is different. Every customer has a different infrastructure. They've got different products, and I can't force them to buy all my stuff. That's never going to happen. That's, you know, even the major players can't do that. So you have to recognize that I have to be able to play nice with everybody else's products out there. So if we could integrate together using APIs, for example, or being able to, you know, consume and process log information from other devices to be able to do better threat hunting, better correlation analysis, that's the way to go. And SAG4 is a big believer in doing that with our XDDR framework.
That sounds great. I'm hearing sticks and different frameworks and traps and logs. There's ways to ingest and custom APIs, and everybody's open up their box to each other. So I think it's good to be able to centralize where possible to reduce the noise for the IT staff and give them one place to go if they can, you know, handle that.
Yes.
Great.
Completely with that.
So do you have small solutions? For example, could Xi Jinping have a little SAG4 firewall in his home office at his house? And if so, is that something I could afford to buy? Because I bet it's pretty secure.
Sure. We go anywhere from small businesses all the way up to large enterprise. And our product scale based upon customer requirements. Yeah. The majority of our customer base historically has been in Asia Pacific. So a lot of those organizations don't have the same kind of money as Western organizations do. So we've had to make sure that we can provide products at any reasonable price point to be able to handle even the smallest businesses, mom and pop type shops, as well as going up to large tier 1, tier 2, you know, telcos.
Does that mean that some of your stuff is distributed in retail channels like Staples or something, or an online Newegg or other third-party deployments, or is it direct and you've partnered with Alibaba and Amazon? Like, how does an SMB to a mid-market get your solutions?
In our customer base, most of our SMBs actually deal with reseller partners that are local to them. And SAG4 is very committed to working with local channel partners. That's one of the things that we do is SAG4 has an office in every country that we work with. And that office is full service with pre-sales, post-sales, support, and channel managers. We work with existing partners in the area to be able to help them reach out to their customers. We don't want to go to big box type stuff because it's too impersonal, right? We believe that the partner should be able to provide value add, be able to provide services and support that, and build a relationship they want with their customers, and then being able to support that using SAG4 products.
Do you think that MSSPs are going to end up being competitors, becoming cloud-based cybersecurity companies themselves? Or will MSSPs continue in many cases to need your products to ride their services on?
It's interesting you say that because we're seeing a large increase in partners, as we've talked about, wanting to become local MSSPs. So they're building their own MSSP services and they need to have an infrastructure to do that. So they go out and try to find best of breed products. And in many cases, they found that Sanfor are the best products to use to help build their MSSP infrastructure. So we're very fortunate to be able to partner with a lot of these organizations in different regions to be able to do that.
That's great. Guy, do you have any wireless routers or home wireless routers or wireless router firewalls that can fit in a 1 to 10 IP environment, or is that too small for Sanfor?
No, we actually have a whole company, separate division that does Wi-Fi, mostly for commercial and again for small businesses. So you can handle going into a small organization and doing 1 to 10 people. They can go in and you could outfit an entire conference center to be able to do a large conference type stuff. We have a whole array of Wi-Fi technologies as well.
Yeah, the reason I ask is because of post-COVID, so many homes are connecting to corporate networks with poor hygiene, old wireless routers, insecure platforms. It seems a new market opportunity for those who provide quality, low-cost routers that could replace the really old stuff sitting in houses that can be part of botnets and ransomware networks and easily eavesdropped on.
We actually have dedicated cellular routers, 4G routers, and soon to have 5G routers that you can deploy in home. So you can actually add that as your access point to hook up your corporate device to, for example, or even make part of your home network. So we have some really cool technology to make sure that we can go do that. Because we know that a lot of places that we support, even people who work from home, may not have strong internet capability there. They don't have internet infrastructure that's coming to the house, broadband even, or coax or whatever they're going through there. So at that point, by using some of our TE 4G related Wi-Fi products, it allows them to be able to bring Wi-Fi connectivity in the home through cellular capability and be able to have direct access to the organizations with actually has virtual SD-WAN capability.
So Guy, you're in the hot seat. I have to ask a couple of the tough hot seat questions. And you probably get this all the time. Are you able to sell any products to the U.S. government or the U.K. or other governments that have some concerns in their relationships lately with the Chinese government?
We'll tell you honestly that we have made a conscious decision to not come to the U.S. market for the last several years for obvious reasons. Now we're seeing a change in political climate, so we may see that it may be more advantageous for us to come and come into the United States market. But on the other hand, we've been very, very successful in Asia Pacific. We're making inroads into EMEA. We have offices and customers in Italy. We have customers in the Middle East. We're expanding very nicely in those areas over there. We're expanding into Latin America even. So as much as we would like to come into the United States, we think right now it might be best for us to wait just a little while longer before we come back into this market. There's still another world out there that we can still go out and sell to.
But if I want that home wireless router, can I get it in the U.S.?
If you want, we can make it available in the U.S. We actually have, we do have a U.S. office here that we do for R&D. We do have local partners that we can work with. So you can, we do make our products available here in the United States. It's just not something that we actively push at this point in time.
Understood. And are you guys publicly traded? Are you on a stock market in the U.S. or China or where? Because I know you're a big company.
We are on the Chinese stock market. We are, for the numbers, we were like 117 or something on there. So we were actually, our valuation is pretty high up in the Chinese stock market. So in our space, we tend to be like number 1, 2, or 3 in the secured infrastructure market. Our biggest competitor probably being like Huawei.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Great work. Is there anything else that you want to share with our viewers and listeners that we may have missed?
One of the things that we really want to stress is, as I talked about, the use cases that we have coming from the domestic Chinese market. And one of the big things that was very big in the domestic market is integration. So you see a lot of talk now about XDR, right, which is integrating usually firewall endpoint together and doing some stuff. Sanfor has been doing that for a lot of years already. We didn't know it was called XDR until XDR came out and said, oh, we call it XDR. If you look, we are the only company that has a next generation firewall with built-in web application firewall, and student have deception technology built into it, with and also has ability to directly control endpoint technology. So you have a closed loop between identifying malware threats endpoint side and at the network side and be able to respond directly to them. That is a really cool functionality we have that no one else can do to be able to improve the ability to respond against things like ransomware and other kinds of advanced persistent threats we're seeing coming down the line in the future.
Now, did I hear you say you've added deception technology to your next-gen firewall?
We have deception technology that we are using in domestic China right now. It's been very successful, and we'll be probably bringing it out to the international market sometime towards the end of this year.
Like a Hint.org or an Ativo or an Acavo kind of feature?
And it's actually built into the next-generation firewall.
So someone hacks in and they think they've broken into a corporate network, but they're wasting their cycles in your firewall?
And the firewall then will read that. The firewall can then redirect them to either local honeypots within the firewall technology, or can actually redirect them to the cloud for some more advanced, more sophisticated honeypot technology and analysis for
That is great work. I've always thought firewalls should not just, you know, defend, but go on the offense and keep the bad guys busy so you can get back to work. Let them, you know, waste their cycles and end up not stealing anything, buying you time to detect, to understand them, maybe even understand the indicators of compromise. Get one step ahead of the next threat, and you're doing that. That's great. Sangfor is an innovator. It's pretty exciting.
So we have some very, very exciting, interesting use cases, and we can't wait to bring them out to the international marketplace.
Guy Rosenfeld, Chief Marketing Officer at Sangfor, really great hot seat. Enjoyed seeing you again. Hope we can do it again soon.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in person again. Thank you all.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.